اس کے بعد اس مقصد کے لیے ہم یہاں پر جمع ہوئے ہیں، اس کے حصول کے لیے میں دعوت دیتا ہوں ہمارے معزز مہمان جو محتاج تعارف نہیں ہیں، الحمدللہ ہم لوگ ان سے کئی مرتبہ استفادہ کر چکے ہیں اور یہ کئی بار ادارہ تشریف لا چکے ہیں، انتہائی متواضع شخصیت حضرت مفتی سہیل صاحب دامت برکاتہم، میں آپ سے گزارش کرتا ہوں کہ تشریف لائیں اور ہم سب کو استفادے کا موقع عنایت فرمائیں.
بسم اللہ، الحمدللہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی رسول اللہ. مائی اسپیکٹڈ برادرز، ایلڈرز، مدرز اینڈ سسٹرز ان اسلام، السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. فار اس ٹو ہیو اے بلیسڈ اینڈ ہیپی ہوم لائف وی اسٹارٹ ود دا ہارٹ، بیکاز اف ایوریبڈی از ناٹ آن دا سیم پیج دین ڈفرینسز ڈیولپ، اینڈ ڈفرینسز ڈیولپ بیکاز دا ہارٹس آر ناٹ آن دا سیم پیج. And the ulama have said that if a person looks very closely, the heart has tashbih with the Baytullah, with Kaaba. You heard that the Imam, he recited from Biwadin Ghayri Zi Zara'in, that the Baytullah is in a valley, and a wadi by its nature is something that is hidden from view. It's difficult to see because it's surrounded by mountains. How Makkatul Mukarrama, the Kaaba is, it's surrounded by mountains because it's in a wadi. That's what's mentioned in the Quran, another place, in the batn of Makkah. Similarly, the heart is hidden from view, just like the Baytullah is hidden from the view. You have to go closer to see it. The heart has been ordered to be cleaned. Allah Azza wa Jal ordered in the Quran, وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ. Purify my home, purify my house. Similarly, we have been ordered to purify our heart, because if there is daghina, if there is jealousy, hatred, envy, then there won't be happiness in the home. So the order is to purify the heart. Allah Azza wa Jalla has ordered us to purify the home of His home. Also, the order is to purify our own hearts. The tashbih between the heart and the Baytullah. If you look at Hajj al-Aswad, you are all, mashallah, aware that it used to be white. It is the sins of Bani Adam that made it black. Hajj al-Aswad, the black stone, was in reality white. It is the sins of people that made it black. And mashallah, you are aware that the heart, every time persons commit sins, black dots start covering it. You see how the tashbih is there? The area around the Kaaba is sacred, so there are laws pertaining to it. The plants can't be uprooted, the wild plants that grow there. Animals are safe, they cannot be hunted. The wild animals, they can't be hunted around the Kaaba, right? There's the haram, the sanctuary is very sacred for this purpose. Similarly, because of the believing mu'min, because of his believing heart, his wealth, his honor, his blood is sacred. So there is tashbih, there is comparison between the heart and the Baytullah. And in the hadith, it actually comes that the believing mu'min, the believer, is more sacred with Allah Azza wa Jal, has more value, اس کی قیمت زیادہ ہے than the Baytullah. One believer, not a hafiz, not a alim of the Quran, not a alim of the Sunnah, not a person who is a scholar, not a qari, a regular believer, has more honor with Allah Azza wa Jal than the Baytullah. So the place to start, my respected elders and brothers, is the heart. Because if this is not purified, if everybody is not on the same page, then differences will develop. And my younger brothers, mashallah, who will be our elders, mashallah, you are aware when you play a game that if everybody on the same team is not committed to winning, then you're going to have problems, right? If somebody just stands and he's not defending, he's not doing his part, then your team will lose. And so similarly, in a household, everybody, that you are like a team. And if everybody's not on the same page, everybody's not doing their part, then issues will happen. So for this to happen, everybody has to put in their effort. And it's not something that is a perfect thing, that we're all going to be perfect, right? Differences will always be there. That's not the purpose. If you look at our pious predecessors, if you look at the lives of the Sahaba, there were differences of opinion amongst them. Right? The Prophet ﷺ came to the home of Fatima radiallahu anha, his beloved daughter, one day, and her husband Ali radiallahu anha was not there. Very famous hadith. And she mentioned that there was a difference of opinion, something happened, and he did not, Ali radiallahu anhu, husband, did not take a qailula. There was an argument, and he went. And so the Prophet went looking for him. And from there he was lying down in some dust. So the Prophet called him Abu Turab. And from that he said that was his most beloved kunya to him, Abu Turab, because the Prophet called him that, right? So you see from this that, you know, differences are normal. Right? This is between Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima radiallahu anhu. The Prophet ﷺ with Aisha, it's famous that, you know, when she was angry at the Prophet ﷺ, she would not take his name. Right? He said that, I know that when you are angry with me. And he mentioned that, you know, she would say that, you know, she would substitute instead of Rabba Muhammad, she would say Ibrahim. Right? So she would say Ibrahim, the name, like the Lord of Ibrahim instead of Lord of Muhammad ﷺ. So differences of opinion are this is not the thing to be afraid of. This is not the problem that is. I remember something. This is more than 20 years back. We were sitting and Mufti Nawar Rahman Sahab, Dawud Barakatuh, was giving a talk. And he made a very important point. This is 20 years ago, and I remember it because it was so beautiful. He said that the problem is not jo choti khatpat ho jati hai na logon ke beech mein. That's not the problem between the husband and the wife. That's not the problem in the families. Because they're like a flu, a cold. These things come and go. But the problem is the terminal disease, stage 4 cancer, the problem that can disrupt and break a family. Small problems happen, that's common, that's normal. And, you know, and everybody, this is part of life, because you will always have difference of opinion. So it's very important to keep in mind that if a person has differences of opinion, there are little issues that crop up in there, that doesn't mean anything. As long as you communicate through it and solve the problems, whether it's between the children and the parents, these misunderstandings happen, husband, wife, relatives, family members, it doesn't take away from the fact that the family is still happy, because these things are bound to happen. They will happen. But the problem is that when it does happen, how does a person overcome it? Right? We know that in our Sharia, there are certain ways that to be done. And so, one important thing to remember, and I'll give you an example. Back in 1988, there's a very famous park here called Yellowstone. There was a fire that took out like over 1 million acres. And that's because what the Forest Service used to do is that every time a fire would come up, as soon as a fire would come up, they would stomp it out. And what would happen is that over years, all this wood accumulated. And all this fuel accumulated. So when a fire started, there was so much fuel there that it burned everything. The people that were here before, the Native Americans, whom when Columbus arrived here, he called them Indian Americans because he thought he had come into India. So the Native Americans, the people who are indigenous to this land, what they used to do is that they used to set a controlled burning. They used to say, we're going to burn from here to here, we'll set fire to it, so it's burned. So there's no fuel left. So when a fire does start, it doesn't burn so much. It's not so dangerous. So they said, thoda thoda time se itne area ko jalaya karo. Then this area, controlled burning. And that's why you didn't have major fires, because they knew how to deal with the land. What I'm trying to say, respected brothers and elders, mothers and sisters, is that when problems happen, we do one of two things. We either say, nahi, baat sunni ki nahi hai. We immediately put it down. So that's like fuel. There in the heart, it keeps on building up, and one day it comes out like a big fire and takes out everything. So our purpose is then to talk out these problems. As long as you're talking out the problems and communication is happening, that's like that control burning. How is it control burning? Look in our hadith. You are all, mashallah, aware that the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned that, you know, it's not permissible for a believer to leave when disagreements happen, that over 3 days you shouldn't, you're not supposed to leave, you know, not talking to each other. Control burning. Theek hai, arguments happen, understood. Somebody's mad, somebody's angry, you need some time to cool off. But don't let it go too long. Controlled. Control. Otherwise, the fire will spread, Allah forbid. So look, the Sharia, how the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, it should be controlled. Arguments happen, understood. We all have human nature. As anger, it needs time to subside, it needs time to cool down. But don't let it go so far. Limit it. And then if problem does happen, don't push it out. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want communication open. What was the problem? How can we fix it? How do we do better next time? These kinds of open communication channels will make things better, inshallah. So it's very important to leave it this way. And if we want to learn from somebody, we learn from our young ones. On Wednesday, 2 days back, I was working. I heard a shout. And a loud crying. I came outside and, you know, my two young kids, Ahmed and Humaid. So Ahmed started yelling, "Oh, meri ungli ke upar chad gaya. Jaan bujh ke kya?" And then he's shouting and crying, you know, he did it on purpose. And then he pushed him. shouting and crying, calmed them down. Literally, after 7 minutes, I came outside again, they were playing. That's why the ulama say that, you know, there are five things that kids have, that if we adults have, we would become awliya. So one of them is that they're humble in illness. When they get sick, they don't say, "Bhai, mere saath aisa kyun hua? Why this happened to me? Why this happened to me? Why this happened to me?" They're sick, they get over it. Right? They eat together. Saath milke khate. Right? They're at ease regarding their risk. They don't worry about the risk, whereas what I'm going to eat tomorrow, what I'm going to do the day after. They take it day at a time. They reconcile quickly. Jab jhagda ho jata hai to bahut jaldi mil jul ke khelte hain. Fighting, it looks like they're going to fight and they're not going to... 5-10 minutes later, they're playing like nothing ever happened. And they cry very easily. These are the five things that the ulama say that kids have by nature. That if we as adults could copy them, then these are the signs of a wali of Allah. That a person who is humble in illness, they eat together, they're not so worried about the risk. They try, not that they're trying for the risk, but they're not worried about it. They don't have that fikr that, you know, it doesn't affect their ibadah. They are reconciled after fights happen, they get together very quickly, and tears come very quickly to them. So these are the hallmarks of the awliya of Allah that if we adopt from our kids, then we too, inshallah, would have that. So you see that the reconciling quickly is a very important part. Same thing, that you don't let it go get out of hand. It's not a problem that arguments happen, differences of opinion come through, but how does one resolve them? That is the most important part. And if you look at psychologists, they talk about, well, you use this tool and that tool to open up your communication. So they mention certain things, how you have a stronger relationship, and we studied this for this long. So some of the things that they mention is that, for example, they say, well, there's something, they come up with a tool called Hanlon's Razor. They say that what that means is that don't attribute to ill intent what can be attributed to something else. Meaning, don't think bad that this person did something on purpose if there is another plausible reason for it. For example, you came in, your child spilled coffee over something. Well, you say, well, he did it on purpose, and then there's a big argument and shouting over it. Well, maybe he wasn't paying attention, a ball just filled over. Something happened by mistake. It wasn't done on purpose. You know, your Friday clothing is not ironed, or something's not a problem, or she did it on purpose. If you have a reason that you can make it that it's not on purpose, oh, she forgot. Or the wife says, for example, the husband, he knew that I had to go someplace to this dawat and then he went someplace else. Well, if there's a reason, for example, that you can say that there's a reason, maybe he forgot. If there's a reason that you can attribute it to, then attribute it to that. This will avoid a lot of the problems. So they came up with a very complicated name for it. It's called Hanlon's Razor. But our Sharia already has it. It's called Husnu Zan. Achha Zan Rakhna. We have a very simple word for it. Have a good zan about other people, like don't think bad. If you have, you know, if you have a reason, for example, I can say, if he's a believer, this is a mu'min, I can't look into his heart. If he's saying, bhai, galti se ho gaya, I'm taking my word, I'm taking his word for it. It happened by mistake, okay, no problem, it happened by mistake. So they have this complicated word for it, but Ashari has the most beautiful word for it. And if you have husnul zan, if you have think good thoughts, high wife for the husband for the wife, children for the parents for the children, then you've accomplished a big round of what it means to have a good and happy family by having husn zan for each other. But again, everybody has to be on the, try to be on the same page. Mistakes will happen. But forgiveness and then moving on. That's what it is. They have another very complicated term, they call it co-regulation. They say co-regulation is very important in a happy household. What does co-regulation mean? They say, for example, somebody has a mental load on him. Somebody has a problem. For example, the husband has work issues. He comes home, he's tired, there's a lot of stress on him, something's happening. Wife is dealing with other problems with the kids, they're not listening, they're not doing their homework, something's happening. That the other person step in to help that person. Because these words help a lot. Many things we know, but when you hear it from somebody else, kisi aur se sunte, so it has a very strong effect on the heart. When you hear good words, encouragement from another person, especially if that person is from your family, it has a very strong effect on the heart. They call this very complicated thing co-regulation. They say it's very important for a happy family, right? But we already have this in our Sharia. Like, mashallah, you are aware, when the Prophet when the wahi came down, and he came home, zammiluni, zammiluni, cover me, and he said to Khatija, laqad khashitu ala nafsi, I'm afraid for myself, I don't know what's going to happen. That, what did Khadija say? Abshir in some hadith said, no, good news. Kalla, Allah, wallahi, la yughzik Allahu abada. Allah Azza wa Jalla will never disgrace you. And then she started mentioning all the good things that the Prophet ﷺ did. She says, you know, you earn for the poor, you are good to your guests, you know, you do sila rahmi, you do this, you do that, you know, you help people in calamities. She's mentioning all these things. This is code regulation. Somebody else is in a position where they're facing a challenge or a difficult situation. And the partner, whoever it is, steps in and says, no, inshallah, everything will be okay. Mashallah, everything is good. Everything's fine. Everything's good. It's in our Sharia already, right? It is from the first revelation story of Wahi that is already mentioned in our story. So what I'm saying is that all these things that they come up with, mashallah, is there in our Sharia. We don't even need to look outside our deen, right? It's all there. So how can a person do this, apply this? In addition to, for example, having husni dhan that we mentioned, that parents with their children, children with their parents. Every one of us go through our own little difficulties. Children have their own peer pressure at school, at madrasa, and other things. Parents, fathers have their own issues at work and other situations. Mothers have their own situation to deal with. If everybody steps in, because it's very easy to tell, you look at somebody's face, you can tell that this person is not having a good day. This person is stressed, something happened, step in, ask what happened, how can I help, what can I do, inshallah everything will be okay. These words go a long way in making a difference. So these are something, this is something that we can use also. So having good thoughts about one another, and then stepping in, if you see somebody is feeling stressed, somebody is not looking like they're happy, some issues going on, that you mention that you're ready to help, inshallah everything will be okay, everything will be fine, inshallah. These things help a lot, and these are part and parcel of our deen. Another thing that is very, very important that helps is that a person is careful with his attitude. Mashallah, you are young, but many, many years ago in school, when a kid used to say a bad word or use not nice words, in school they used to take soap and say, you now go wash your mouth with soap water because you didn't use a good word. They don't do that anymore, but they used to do it. Maulana Tahanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that, look, when we do wudu, the first thing that we do after washing our hands, we wash our mouth. Because this is the thing that destroys people the most. There's a hikmah behind why we wash our mouth first. There's a hikmah behind. Of course, there's, you know, seeing where the water is pure, the taste, the loan, the riyah, all these the fuqaha have mentioned. But there's another separate hikmah that because people use their mouth and we get into trouble because of that, the tongue. And then he mentioned that, look, there's the story of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, where he was surprised when he said to the Prophet ﷺ that, Ya Nabi Allah, O Messenger of Allah, are we going to be taken into account for what we say? And the Prophet ﷺ looked at him like, Saqilatka ummuka ya Mu'adh, yani, may your mother lose you, which is a term that the Arabs use to indicate, like, pay attention here. You know, what is it that throws people down into Jahannam on their faces, on their noses, except what their tongues have done? Zabani to cheez hai jo logon ko jahannam mein leke jaati hai. So what Maulana Tahan Rahmatullah said, that look, pay very careful. There's a hikmah in why we wash our mouths first. This is the thing where you need to be careful about. So if all of us as a team are careful about what we say, children, parents, right, to each other, we know what our maqam is, the father knows what his position is, the mother knows what her position is, the children know what their position is, the elder siblings know what their position is, the younger siblings know what their position is, and how they should be talking and speaking with the people that they're in front of, then inshallah a lot of the problems are eradicated. And because we tend to forget, right? We tend to forget, this hikmah is there because we make wudu all the time. That look, you're going to wash your mouth first. Remember that the hikmah and the reason for washing your mouth is that so you don't use your tongue in the wrong way. You don't use this thing, the ability that Allah Azza wa Jalla give you in the wrong way. So pay attention when you're making wudu, so you remind yourself that this is the reason why I'm washing my mouth first. Then he said that, look, after washing the mouth, we wash the nose. And the nose is in many, many languages used as a symbol for takabbur and pride. The Arabs say, Raghima anfu fulan. May the person's nose be put with dust when they want to say that this person should be humiliated, or despite of that person or person's humiliated. We say in Urdu, ke bhai wo naak chada ke baat kar raha hai, right? We say in English, that person is a very snotty person. Like when he has his nose turned up like this, he talks like he's better than everybody else. Samajhta hai, dusro se achha hai. So look, it's all related to this part. So right after the mouth, I can't have takabbur. You have to be humble. So when you're washing the nose, you remember that humbleness is very important. Now, you tell me what we just mentioned so far about all these things. If, for example, everybody's on the same page. Everybody's working to purify the heart. Given every one of us is human and we make mistakes, we're not 100% perfect. None of us are ma'asum here. We're all humans here. That if a person uses these techniques, uses these things, tries his best, I'm not going to try to say something that hurts my family members. I'm not going to act like I'm better than them. I'm not going to act with pride and arrogance. I know more than my father. I know more than my mother. Or I'm not going to do these things. I'm going to purify my heart because I want best for my family and my family wants best for me. We're all on the same page. I'm going to pay careful attention that when my family member is stressed out or is not feeling good, I'm going to ask them and inshallah make dua for them and say good things to them, encourage them, inshallah things will work out. I'm going to be there, for example, and not assume bad things that just because something happened, that it happened because this person, this person did it on purpose to me. If you do all these things, how many mistakes, how many problems, how many arguments are deleted from that person? And then comes the question of, for example, making mashwara. This is very important in a happy household. Mashwara is a very important thing. The scholars say that, look, Allah Azza wa Jal, if He wanted, every single decision could have been given to the Prophet by way of wahi, by way of revelation. But certain things are not, and it was left up to the Prophet to decide by himself. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And the decision was given to the Prophet, make mashwara with the Sahaba. If the Prophet has been told to make mashwara, then who are we? That we are not in need of mashwara, to make mashwara with our family. Especially when it comes to major family decisions. This is very important. They point to another thing. They say, look, in the chapter of Saba, this was a queen that later became Muslim in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam. But when the letter came to her from Sulaiman alayhi salam, she was still a kafir. Her and her qawm, her and her people, used to worship the sun. She was a kafir at the time when the letter from Sulaiman alayhi salam came to her. And so when the letter came, she said, Ya ayyuhal malau aftuni fi amri. So she called her chieftains together to get mashwara from them, to get advice from them. And they say at this point, look, the reason, one of the reasons for pointing this out here is that she is a kafir. At this stage, she was a disbeliever, and she still realizes the importance of mashwara, how important it is to consult. So in important matters, where, for example, the future of the children is very important, for some decision needs to be made, it's very important that we involve everybody. And it's very, very beautiful thing that the father sometimes, on the they said together, Acha mashallah, today, chutti ka din hai, where should we go? Mashallah, you give your mashwara, you give your mashwara, you give your mashwara. They make the kids that they feel that they have a say in what they're going. So mashwara usually is of two types. I don't know if many of you have ordered off Amazon, but the guy who started Amazon, he said that, you know, decisions are of two types. Type 1 and type 2. Type 1 is the decision that is very important. If you go inside that door, you can't turn back. Big decisions. He said these kinds of big decisions require mashwara. He actually said consultation. May you have to make consultation because if you make a mistake, then it's a big problem. It's difficult to reverse. Type 2 decisions are small. They can easily be made. They can easily be fixed. So if you work on making sure that those big decisions are made with all the people that are involved, that will go a long way in making sure that the wife is involved. She feels that, okay, this is an important decision, concerns my children's future. Husband is making mashwara with me. Husband feels the wife is making mashwara with her, regarding her whatever big decision. If that is involved, that consultation is there, then this also goes a long way in making everybody feel that everybody's on the same team. Everybody's the part of the same team. And then there's some practical examples that we can all take into account. For example, either you sit down with the children and have some time to have lunch or dinner or breakfast. Try to do it one time, that the family gets together, everybody sits on the dastarkhan, everybody gets together and eating together. I know that's difficult because if people have different schedule, madrasa schedule might be different, school schedule might be different, your work schedule might be different. But if a person can put together some time, then in one time, let's figure out, if not every single day, then as many times as possible, that we can eat breakfast together this day, dinner together this day. The whole family is there. They get together, everybody sitting on the table, no devices, no nothing, leave everything behind, everybody eats together. We mentioned that one of the things about kids is that they eat together. Saath mein milke khate hain, we want to implement that. So you eat together. This is very important. And no specific schedule needs to be there, just mashallah, how did your gado, what's everything going on, just general discussion, eating together. Another important part is education. That we have some sort of tarbiyah or ta'aleem program at home. It's not sufficient that a child goes to the madrasa, a child goes to school, or they're getting mashallah, they're the madrasa. They should see it at home, that it's being practiced at home. Otherwise, the thinking will be, well, ta'aleem and tarbiyah is for the madrasa. When I go home, I don't have to do that. So it should be there at home. There are many, many beautiful books, Muntakab Ahadith, so many books that are available in English, a person can easily read, have the kids. So many are available in PDF. You don't even, you can just download it, have it on the phone and read off of it. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, not too much. Ask the kids to read it, everybody takes turn. Many, many beautiful books where a person can read, have tarbiyah and ta'aleem. If not every single day, as many days as possible, couple days a week at least. So that's very important in forging us. Everybody's on the same page, same identity. We all want to be extra better in our deen, make progress in our deen, be on the same page. And finally, that a person should have some time as a family where it's a tech-free zone. Some of the people who've invented, some of the major, technical progresses, actually what they do with their children is that they stay 1 or 2 days a week, they disconnect the Wi-Fi and turn off all devices. So nobody can access anything. So for this amount of time, we're going to be without devices. Because it's like cigarette ki tarah. Now once your person gets it, now every little while, whether it's the iPad or whether it's a person's phone or whether it's, for example, a device or a computer. So some time needs to be allotted where it's device-free in the home. Couple hours, whatever it might be, that's very important. So that everybody is like, at first it'll be like, oh, like a person, you know, is recovering from some sort of addiction. Like, what do you do? It's so boring. It's okay, kids can be bored for a little while and you can be bored for a little while too. But over time it'll become better. So it's a couple hours, you start off with whatever you can do. 2 hours, 3 hours, you know, whatever then be. And slowly, slowly increase it where you try to have where at least half a day goes by where you're without devices. Everybody kind of disconnects back with the family together. These are very important, especially in our times, because this didn't used to exist before. And this is a new fitna that is in our age, right? It's important for many, many reasons. Yes, we need it, but it doesn't need to be there 7 days a week. We can live without it for 4, 5, 6 hours in the entire week. 4-5 ghante to aadmi kar sakta hai. Not this, don't say to the kids, okay, when you're sleeping, fir 5 ghante wo. Not those. Those don't count. When everybody's awake and when everybody feels like using it, at that time, okay, no more devices, let's shut everything off and not use it. We can talk with each other, we can play each other, we can go for a walk, something that's there, whatever it needs to be, but it needs to be without devices. So that time should be there without it. Inshallah, if these kind of ideas are followed, again, there's no 100%, but the idea is that communication is there, mashwara is there, mutual self-respect there, the hearts, we're working towards the same thing, we're supporting one another, communication lines open, we're careful of what we say, takabbur is not there, we're avoiding, we're humble in nature, you know, we're taking time out away from devices, there's time for food together on a daily basis or almost on a daily basis, there's time for tarbiyah and ta'aleem. Inshallah, all these will lead to inshallah a happy family with the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah give you the tawfiq. Wa astaghfirullah min qawli mila amali. Jazakumullahu khairan.